Today on Sound Doctrine.
Who does God go to? Those that are ready. Those that have gone through it. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they hit bottom, and they cry out, and that's who God hears. Because what have you done? You've humbled yourself before Almighty God. You're no longer a big shot. You no longer got your act together. And you're just letting go. And God's going, fall in your Father's arms, man. I'm here to take you and to make you something beautiful. If you'll just, in faith, step out and humble yourself.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
If I asked you to do some self-evaluation, how would you describe yourself? Now keep that in the back of your mind, and we'll compare it with God's view of you here today on Sound Doctrine. Apart from Christ, we're all sick and lost. We're in Romans, and in that first three chapters, we discover mankind is guilty before a holy God. The Apostle Paul is about to drive that point home in chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. That's where we catch up with Pastor Jeff Johnson.
Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 3. This morning we're going to talk about God's view of man. It is hard to get man's attention or to get him to listen. I mean, there's something about man. Jesus called us sheep in the New Testament, but Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. And when you say, look at a man and say, well, he's like a sheep, you're just saying a whole lot there. And if you study sheep, you understand that sheep are the dumbest animal. Not only are they dumb, they just don't get it. And they get in a rut constantly. I don't know if this relates, but... And then they think the grass is greener. And they get off in dangerous territory. Without a shepherd, they're toast. That's what he says. All we like sheep have gone astray. Paul somehow finds words, and it's the Lord speaking through him, probing questions to remove man's safety net. Always wanting to make sure he's got that safety net going, or in another way to say it, he's upsetting his comfort zone, if you will. You know, all of a sudden, when he thought everything was fine, there's something about our imagination. We imagine that it's okay when it's not. Imagination rips us off all the time. Imagining things. If you say you have no sin, yeah, I'm a good guy, you know. You're a liar. You're not a good guy. When we get done this morning, you're going to say, okay, I get it. God nails us. Why? Because he knows us. And what he sees, he shares. And that's a good thing. Interesting, Jesus used words like this, and this is in Mark chapter 2, verse 17. They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Those that know they're sick and that they've sinned against God, they've missed the mark that God has given them. They blew it. That's Jesus' way to get our attention. Are you sick? Are you a sinner? Paul uses the last three chapters that we've been going through, chapters 1, 2, and 3, to reveal just how sick man is. And that's what we're looking at, what a sickie he is, and just how lost he is. Of course, man has got his excuses, and he tries to, you know, sidestep the matter, and Paul would, again, hit that and hit it again and again and again. Last week, we looked at that, how he knew exactly what the Jew would say and how what we would say if we were presented in this courtroom situation. He knocked them all down. So, His view, man's view, is skewed. Look at, well, you can, yeah, turn with me to Revelation 3. Hold Romans. And in Revelation 3, verse 17, this is what the Lord says, man says of himself. This is Revelation, the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. And this is very interesting because this is what we say, and then in a little bit we're going to get into what God says about us. And I think that what we say about us, we need to be careful to believe. Everything's okay, I feel fine, everything's great. Well, wait a minute, maybe it's not. And then all of a sudden God says, no, this is what I say. And I think what he says about us is truer than what we say about ourselves. I don't know if you are following me, but he hits it right on the head. Because, he says, thou sayest, you say, I am rich. You see, when man's rich, he pretty much thinks he's got it made. So all God has to do to get man's attention is take his riches away, right? Just let him go through some stuff. Well, I think this nation is going through some stuff. He's going to try to get everybody's attention. I'm not rich anymore. All my money's going away. And you say you're increased with goods. Well, goods come and go, man. All of a sudden, he puts man in the spot. They're taking my Winnebago, you know, or my weekend thing. I can't afford it anymore. I can't pay the payments anymore. And I don't have a lot of fun things anymore. And then you say you have need of nothing. You have need of nothing. Man, is man deceived or what? Rich, a lot of stuff. I have no need of anything. What about God? Oh, I don't need him. I got riches. Well, that can go away in a moment. So man is totally deceived. And he imagines things are all right. And that's what he says. He's very upfront. Paul, though, is sharing about reality. God is sharing reality. Man has suppressed the truth. He doesn't want to deal with the truth. He pushes it aside. He's without excuse. He knows better. So he's guilty. And we've seen it over the weeks we've been studying this. Man is guilty every single time. And we're in God's courtroom, remember, and this is God's on the throne there, and he's leading this whole thing. And man pops up guilty each and every time. Chapter 3. Now, even the religious, you say that you're a light where you're not a light. You say that you're a guide to the blind, but you're blind yourselves. You're in darkness. You're sick. And just as guilty as everybody else. In other words, the Lord makes sure he cuts and he shares about everyone. He says the heathen, the Gentiles, guilty. The hypocrites, those that think everything's fine and it's not, guilty. The Hebrews, those that are religious, guilty. Everybody across the board is guilty. All are under the curse of sin. That's what verse 9 says, isn't it? The end of verse 9 says that all are under the curse, the power, the control of sin. I was conceived in sin, David said. I was born into the sinful, with a sinful nature. I was lost from the very beginning. And without God, and if you're in this world and you don't have God, you have no hope. You're alone. Doing your own thing, thinking, you know, with your imagination, you know, thinking things are okay when they're not, being deceived and ripped off. So the whole world lies before God guilty. Paul now is going to move along and use some Old Testament scriptures. He's going to use one after another to prove and to drive this point home that man is guilty. And these are called kind of a chain of pearls when you use a bunch of scriptures like this to prove your point, which Paul is doing here. This is God's view of man. Remember, we just started it in Psalm 14, the psalm we read this morning. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Actually, it should read, the fool has said in his heart, no God. That's how it reads in the original text. No God. Like, no God, you know. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven and the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Mm-mm. They were all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So this is kind of the intro, this Psalm 14, to this section that we're going to be looking at from verses 10 to verse 18 this morning. So in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, that's where we left off. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. Wow. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So not one righteous, no one understands, and not one good. And you can pretty well judge yourself in this, in that you can see that when you think you're something, you're not. When you think you know something, you know nothing at all, the scripture says. But I think one of the scriptures that really helps me in this is when you look at the love chapter, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, and you start in verse 4 where it says charity. That's an Old Testament word for love. And you know, our word for love is kind of shallow anyhow, but the Hebrew or the Greek is even, you know, it's really, it expands. So love is deep. Love is strong when it's God's agape love. But every place where it says charity, if you put your own name in there, it's really eye-opening. Let me do it for you. It's interesting. Love, or and I'll put my name, Jeff suffers long and is kind. Jeff doesn't envy or puff himself up at all. Jeff does not behave himself unseemly, and he doesn't seek his own. He is not provoked. And he thinks no evil. Yeah. Rejoices not in iniquity. Jeff rejoices in the truth. Jeff bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Jeff endures all things. Jeff never fails. Why are you laughing? It's true. No. I fail. And I want you to get in the mirror when you get home. You remember 1 Corinthians 13. Start with verse 4 and put your own name in there. And you'll laugh. You'll chuckle. Why? Because we can't do it. We ain't doing it. We're not doing it. This is not happening. But you put Jesus' name in there, guys. And you have a straight face. He does it all, man. He does it all. Without him, we are nothing. We are nothing. Think about that. So, pretty fair evaluation of where we stand. All are under sin. And when you look at the person beside you, look at them. Look at the person behind you. Look at the person in front of you. We're all under sin. We're all sinners. Every single last one of us. The word none is used 4 times. The word all is used 3 times. 4 plus 3 is 7. The number 7 means complete. So what are we looking at here? This is God's indictment in his courtroom of man. And it's his complete indictment of his guilt. That man is guilty before a holy God in every area. These are legal terms. First is the charge that is given. The charge, of course, is in verse 9. All are under sin. And that's the charge. The indictments are many from verses 10 through 18, which we're going to look at this morning. And there's 14 counts in all. 14 counts against us. Later, we're going to look at man's defense. What's your defense? You don't have too much defense, man. And finally, at the verdict. Now, the first count, and they're all from the Old Testament, is in verse 10. There is none righteous, no, not one. Of course, that is a scripture from which we read this morning in Psalm 14. And, you know, there's a lot of people that think, well, there's righteous men and there's righteous nations. God says, no, they're not. There are none righteous. There's not one righteous man or a righteous nation. Forget it. Man is basically selfish and self-centered. There is none that are perfectly right in up to God's standards. And that's what he's talking about. No one meets the standard. Everyone has missed the mark. Notice verse 11. There is none that understands. None that understands. The understanding of man, his mind is warped because of sin. We're proud of our 20th century understanding. But many really, do they understand? Do they really understand? No, God says none understands. Even in our physical and psychological and sociological realm, in our society, no one really understands, especially when it comes to the spiritual side. No one understands. Because it says in the scriptures, in 1 Corinthians, it talks about in chapter 2, verse 14, that the natural man doesn't understand the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. The natural man is the man that doesn't know, doesn't understand. He cannot know spiritual things unless God lets him know. Because that's a whole thing, a whole divine revelation in itself, isn't it? That God would allow me to be his child? Why not my other brother? Why not somebody else? Why me? I don't ever question that. I'm just glad he did. And I'm one of them, you know? I'm born again. One of them born agains. And you got to ask yourself, am I one of those? Did God choose me? He's willingly ignorant. He does not believe. And because of that, he is deceived. And remember Jacob. Jacob, he thought he had it all together. And yet, all of a sudden, he lost one son, Joseph. And then the Pharaoh wanted Benjamin to come. And he said, oh, behold, all things are against me. And of course, no, God was with him. Not everything's against you, Jacob. You just don't understand God's way. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're past our finding out. So a lot of times, here we are, God, you know, and he's going, what? It's all going to work out for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So his wisdom, understanding, comes with divine revelation. God says, Jesus said it, you haven't chosen me, I've chosen you. And I've called you to bear much fruit. I mean, when God has your name and he calls your name out and chooses you, what a day that is of revelation. Verse 11 goes on to say, there is none that seeks after God. None are seeking God. But what about those guys that bow down and they bleed and they crawl on their knees and they beat themselves with whips and you know, all that? What about those in Philippines? In the Philippines, they nail themselves to crucifixes and have people carry them down the street. That's radical, man. They got to be seeking God. Well, Paul says it this way, and I tend to lean towards this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 20, Paul says, but I say that the things which the heathen, the Gentiles, sacrifice to, they sacrifice to devils or demons. And not to God. They're not sacrificing. They're not seeking God. I would not have you should have fellowship with devils. So don't go that way. Don't go there. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't go into these idolatry stuff and think it's seeking God, because it's not. It could be demonic. Modern theologians today say that there are many that are seeking. But they're not seeking God. According to what God's saying, they're not seeking God. In fact, in my book, The Seeker, you'll find I sought everything but God. And that was my journey. I was thinking it was God, but I sought everything but God. I wasn't seeking God, truly, all right? It was all about, you know, just the things in the world, what I wanted to do in my life. So God has got it all worked out here. Today, man is always seeking to be, you know, spiritually together. So he wants to be a monk He wants to go up and isolate himself from people and have Rice Krispies, and that's all he hears. Nobody talks. Silence, you know. We're silent here. You know, why are you silent? We're holy, you know. And we're seeking God. No, they're not. They want to just get away from the hassle and hustle and bustle, and they want to live on somebody else and just kick back. And yet they're saying, oh, we're seeking God. God's saying, no, you're not. That's horrible. And I've been in those monasteries, and it's gross. Last monastery I went into, I started to sneak around into the kitchen and open the doors, and they had booze. They had so much booze in there. Those guys are going to town. And then, you know what they're doing up there? And this is over in Israel in this monastery. They're guarding dead man's bones. The last popes and stuff, they have them all buried there, and they guard the bones. It's just a gross place. And plus, they're mean anyhow, you know. I mean, they started screaming at me and telling me to turn off my camera because they didn't want anybody to take pictures. They're very, you know. And then there was, you know, at one time I thought, oh, this is the place, you know. I always have a Bible study up on this hill, and you can see the monastery behind built into the rocks. And I said, doesn't that look like a place of getting away and just meditation and getting alone with the Lord? And everybody's going, yeah, yeah. Well, we need to do that, you know, and I'm ministering to them. But then one day, we had time to go down into that monastery, and the closer you got to it, the more you heard the generators going, and when you get right down, that's all you can hear is generators. I say, what kind of peace and quiet do these guys have, you know? To just run everything, they have to have the generator on. So anyhow, there are none that seek after the Lord. They're seeking peace, maybe, prosperity, health. To ease their pain, they're looking for, you know, a transcendental experience, but they're not seeking God. And that's what I was on. I was on this seeking, you know, this experience and go from one experience to another. There's none that seeks God. I mean, who of us were seeking God when God found us? No, you were groveling in the gutter, man. You were down and out. You were at the end, so to speak. You were desperate. And who does God go to? Those that are ready. Those that have gone through it. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they hit bottom, and they cry out, and that's who God hears. Because what have you done? You've humbled yourself before Almighty God. You're no longer a big shot. You no longer got your act together. And you're just letting go. And God's going, fall in your Father's arms, man. I'm here to take you and to make you something beautiful. If you'll just, in faith, step out and humble yourself. When you get right down to it, our God is a seeking Father. Read Luke 15 later on today. Luke 15 is about how the Lord seeks after the prodigal. And He's seeking for the prodigal. He's a seeking Father. And when the prodigal finally comes, He runs to embrace him. I love that story.
Beautiful story that emphasizes the great love and forgiveness of God. He welcomes the prodigal home with loving arms. And with that, we'll draw today's sound doctrine to a close. Pastor Jeff Johnson has been in the third chapter of Romans, sharing a message called God's View of Man.
Hey, would you like today's study from Romans on CD? You can purchase a copy when you give us a call toll-free, 800-353-7553. I should also mention, you can replay today's program at sounddoctrineradio.org. We also have an app, and that's a great way to stay connected with us and listen to some of Pastor Jeff's teachings as well. Look for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play. Well, it's back to school time, and so we thought it might be helpful to you as parents to offer you a series on parent-child relationships. Now, in this four-part series, Pastor Jeff shares his personal testimony, including how he and his wife applied biblical truths in raising their children. Request the parent-child relationship four-part series on a thumb drive when you visit sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. Sound Doctrine is made possible through the generous support of you, our listeners. And as we go through God's Word one verse at a time, we're looking to our listeners to help us continue the ministry. Together we can reach people with the love and truth of Christ and make a difference in these last days. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call us 800-353-7553. We do want to hear from you, even if it's a quick hello, telling us where you listen. Let us know how we can pray for you as well. You can email us at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. We'll return to Romans next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. May God richly bless you as you take in and apply sound doctrine to your life in Christ. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father,